Good morning, brethren. That's an awakening when you get up here, those lights. Well, good morning, and good morning to the brethren on the web hookup. My wife and I have been traveling quite a bit. We've been in Ocala quite a bit, and that congregation has almost doubled in size, and I'm really glad to see that. Last week, we were in Ocala, and they say to say hello to everyone here at St. Pete, and they love them. We had a great, enjoyable Sabbath with them, and then we went to spend some time with my mother. She just turned 90 years old, and it's always good when I get to spend time with my mother. And when we're with my mother, we talk about good times when we were kids and the fun things we used to do together as a family. But there's one thing that my family never did together, like my wife's family did. And they really enjoyed it, and that was fishing. I never went fishing with my father, and I don't have any fishing stories to tell like my wife does. And yes, that 20-pound striped sea bass hanging on the wall of my home, it belongs to my wife, not me. And yet, almost everyone that walks into my home looks at it and turns and asks me, where did I catch it? How much do I weigh? And I have to inform them I did not catch that. My wife did. Brother, let me tell you a story about a man who lived in a small Mississippi town back in the 60s and how he was the only one catching fish that summer. He'd come into town with a whole lot of fish in his pickup truck all the time. And all the other guys were there waiting at this local coffee house to see how many fish he caught that day alone, each day. Because they hadn't caught any fish, and he had caught a lot each day. Well, word got around in that town, and one day a game warden was waiting for him to put his boat into the water to go fishing. The game warden asked him if he could ride along with him and watch how he caught all those fish all the time. Mount felt like he couldn't say no, so he said yes, and away they went fishing. Well, they got to a secluded cove, and the man asked the game warden to turn around and close his eyes because he had to get out the secret weapon he had. So the game warden says, that's interesting. Okay. Then he hears the seat cushion open up, and all of a sudden he hears this psss noise. He turns around to see the man throwing a lit stick of dynamite 30 feet from the boat, and then a loud boom, and all the fish come bubbling up. The man starts moving the boat around and dip net to put all that fish and load it into the boat. The game warden started screaming, oh my, oh my, you can't do that. That's against the law. I'm going to have to write you up for you breaking about 20 laws. When he gets out his ticket book and his pen, he starts writing. Out in the middle of this water, he starts writing all these tickets. Meanwhile, the man turns his back on the game warden again, leans over the seat, and picks up another stick of dynamite. And before the shaken game warden could finish writing the tickets, he hears this noise again. And when he turns around, the man immediately puts the stick of dynamite in the man's hand. And the game warden says, he just stood there for a minute. No, I can't do this. This is against the law. He didn't know what to do. He was scared to death. The man looked at him and said, well, sir, are you going to argue with me all day? Are you going to blow us up? Are you going to fish? Yeah, well, brethren, that was a story of about a Jerry Cryer story many years ago. He is a comedian writer. While it is true that some people have used real dynamite to catch fish, and even though it's very dangerous and illegal, there's many other ways to fish, brethren. And we also know that Jesus Christ talked about fishing and called four fishermen to be his first four disciples. Well, everyone likes to have the titles. My title is How to Become Fishers of Men. How to Become Fishers of Men. Come with me now to Matthew 4. Come with me to Matthew 4. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Brother, they didn't argue with Jesus, and they didn't bring their nets with them to help them be fishermen of men. Fishers of men. They just obeyed him and put everything down and followed Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And these two brothers got out of the boat and left behind their nets, the tools of their trade, and income. And they left their physical father to obey and follow Jesus Christ. I'm not going into great detail today about this, but some of us sitting here today, we had to leave behind some jobs to obey the Sabbath, and some relatives to think we're absolutely crazy, and friends to obey and follow God as he called us into this church. After leaving everything behind, the first four disciples, they followed Jesus Christ to become fishers of men. Brother, what does that phrase actually mean? What does that phrase actually mean? And does it pertain to us today in God's church? Let's first take a look at that phrase. It is only found two places in the New Testament. We just read the first place, and that's Matthew 4, verse 19. And the second place is Mark's writing in Mark 1, verse 17. But let's turn to Mark 1, verse 1. But while I was preparing this, I found it very interesting that in the book of Matthew and Mark, both disciples were recording and writing about the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. But both men have different writing styles and even begin their books at different points in Jesus' physical life here on earth. The book of Matthew, it begins with the physical generation of Jesus Christ, from Abraham to King David and then to Jesus Christ himself. With the book of Mark, it begins with the word, Mark 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in the prophets. Mark begins with the spiritual start of Jesus Christ by writing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then Mark goes on to write a quote from the Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah 40, verse 3. We won't turn there, but you can look that up. But some commentaries have suggested this prophecy in Isaiah was talking about John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. And then that's why Mark added it and wrote about John the Baptist and his work and then went on to write about Jesus Christ's work. Let's look at Mark 1, verse 17 through 20, brethren. It is recorded almost the same as Matthew's version. The heading on my Bible here in Mark is The Four Fishermen Called as Disciples. Verse 16, and he walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, you will become fishers of men." There's that phrase again, brethren. We'll come back to this and refine that in a minute. Verse 18, they immediately left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther from them, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servants and went after him. Same as Zach's story, brethren, except for the verse 20. Mark tells us that James and John did not leave their elderly father all alone in that boat. They left him to carry on the business, and he had his servants that would help him. Now, these first four disciples were fishermen, and they left everything behind to follow Jesus Christ, which means they were going to obey him, learn from him, become fishers of men, be taught about God's way of life. In Gill's commentary on the Bible, and I quote, it says this, this phrase meant that they would still be fishermen, but in a higher sense and in a far more noble employment and for a better purpose. Brethren, the net they were to spread and cast was the gospel. You can find that in Matthew 13, verse 47. And the sea they were to cast their spiritual nets in was first around Judea and then around the whole world. And the fish they were to catch were the souls of the people, both Jews and Gentiles. Brethren, there are five things we need in order to become fishermen of men. Fishers of men, just like the disciples learn. Five things we need to become fishers of men. Number one, know where the fish are. Remember that fisherman from Mississippi? He knew there was fish in that cove. Let's read what the disciples were told in Matthew 28. Come with me, we're already in Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. The title is The Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. This was the great commission that was given to the disciples for them to reach all nations and spread the gospel message, brethren, teaching the people about God. Brethren, that continues to be our commission, our work today. That work was not over when Jesus Christ was crucified or when the disciples and the apostles died. God's church goes on until the end time, and so does the commission of the church, teaching the people about God. Because of my Bible, brethren, the end of verse 20, it says, even to the end of this age. That hasn't happened yet, has it, brethren? No, it has not. So we can't give up, brethren. We can't quit spreading that gospel message and being lights and being examples to a very sick world. Number two, we must have good tools and skills that God teaches us out of this Bible. We must have good tools and skills that God teaches us out of this Bible. Even though the fisherman from Mississippi knew where the fish were, and he thought it was a good idea to throw that dynamite in the water, and then use his dip net to get them out. Brethren, God doesn't want us or to hurt or injure anyone. God doesn't want us to do that. Especially those who are new in the faith. People are just starting to come to church, brethren, and learn the ways of God. God needs us. God needs every one of us, brethren, to be gentle and loving to them. We can't just toss in a stick of dynamite and blow them out of the water. We need to talk about the sound doctrines that our church teaches. And we all need to be better examples ourselves. Just like our elder brother, Jesus Christ, was during his time as a physical human being on earth. Just as the disciples followed Jesus Christ, learning from him during the course of his ministry by listening to him and watching him personally, they learned what tools and skills they would need to preach the gospel message and help the people in the church of God. They read, they talked about the scriptures daily, and learned what the people needed and how to help them, brethren, helping them. It wasn't just about them being the disciples of Jesus Christ and how great they were to be chosen, what they could do and accomplish. It was about obeying. It was about serving God, even after Jesus Christ had been crucified and resurrected. Brother, what kind of tools do we need? What kind of tools do we need? We need the spiritual tools talked about in Ephesians 6, brethren. Come with me to Ephesians 6. Let's read 10 through 17. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 17. We've read this many a time. We're going to read it again. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 17. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, and that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in heavenly places." Verse 13, "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Brethren, not with your own speculation or your own interpretation of prophecies, but stand having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Brethren, by putting on the entire armor of God, that is the only way to be ready all the time with everything we need to serve God and be fishers of men and to help others. The scriptures did say that the most important tools are the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Without these three pieces of spiritual equipment, it would be impossible to teach other people if we haven't learned these things ourselves, brethren. Number three, we must lead by example. We must lead by example. Not only must we have the armor of God, brethren, but we also must follow Jesus Christ's own example so others can follow our example. A wise church leader said many years ago, "Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. And if I start preaching a different doctrine than Jesus Christ did, then don't follow me." We need to believe that Jesus Christ is telling us today that we need to be fishers of men. And we need to follow him. And we need to be trained by him daily. Brethren, we can only do this by reading God's word. And by believing that we can be filled with God's Holy Spirit and used by God to help others. Be used by God to help others, brethren. There are many ways we can help others. Come with me now to Matthew 5. We'll read verse 13 through 16. I'd like to read this out of the English Standard Version. Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, How shall that saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So, brethren, even though we may be helping spread the gospel message and are doing good works and being a good example to others, other people, brethren, may not see that and may not fully realize it or believe they are. Brethren, they can change and live this way now and be a part of the world tomorrow and the God family. But we all should be able to tell them about the faith, the hope that we have in that truth for all of mankind. Because, brethren, God loves us all and wants to give everyone an opportunity to become part of His family. He loves everyone. Number four, we must obey and love God with all of our heart. We must love and obey God with all of our heart, brethren. This is the one main way that Satan, the devil, has blinded the whole world. He has convinced mankind they do not have to obey God. Satan began this strategy with Adam and Eve. And he is still using this same battle plan today, brethren. Boy, is it still working. Yes, it is. He has also blinded all human beings by telling them that God is not their creator, and even tells them that God no longer exists. And they're all buying it, right and left. Brother, that's where we come in. This is your job. This is where you come in. We are to teach them about obeying and loving God, and we are to be telling them there is a God who loves them. And we are to live by faith and love every day. And we are to be praying and waiting on a better world for everyone. Instead of living by human sense and thoughts like everyone else does, which only makes them able to live day to day like the rest of this world is living right now, with no hope for tomorrow. Come with me and let's read 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. I like to read this from the Common English Bible. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. This is why we don't get discouraged. Given that we receive this ministry in the same way that we receive God's mercy. Instead, we reject secrecy and shameful actions. We don't use deception, and we don't tamper with God's word. Instead, we commit ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God by the public announcement of the truth. Brethren, we have nothing to hide, and we speak the truth. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are on the road to destruction. Verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't have faith, so they can't see the light of that gospel that reveals Christ's glory. Christ is the image of God. We don't preach about ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus Christ as Lord, and we describe ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. God says that light shall shine out of the darkness. Brother, He is the same one who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. But this set of scriptures tells us we are to be what we are to be doing. We are to stay strong. We are to remain faithful. And we are to hold fast and to keep preaching the gospel message until Jesus Christ returns to this earth in glory and honor. But son, human beings, there's a lot out there will not be able to believe the truth until Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Satan the devil, and when he is bound, he'll no longer be able to blind them or block their mind from understanding that truth, brethren. Sometimes people have to see. They have to feel something before they actually believe in it. A lot of people. Let's take a look at this example now in John 21. Come with me over to John 21. This is where John writes about a resurrected Jesus Christ coming out to greet some of the disciples while they were fishing. John 21, let's read 1 through 14. And these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in his way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee. We know that Jesus and John were fishermen when Jesus first contacted them. So brethren, they were professionals, and the two other disciples were together. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you. They went out and immediately got into their boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning now had come, Jesus stood on that shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. Well, brethren, Jesus Christ, he already knew they had not caught anything all that night. So he told them to cast a net on the right side of that boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Verse 7, therefore the disciples who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it and plunged it into the sea. So the disciple John here, who was writing this, said that it was first Jesus and then Simon Peter jumped into the sea and swam to meet Jesus before they could get there in the boat with the net full of fish. Let's read on verse 8. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Soon as they come to land, they saw far coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus already had fish and bread on the far. Verse 10, Jesus said, then bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead, brethren. Wasn't interesting, after they had been getting fishing all night with no success, Jesus came out to greet them and asked them if they had any fish, when he already knew they didn't. And they replied no. He told them to throw out their net again to the other side of the boat. Even though it made no sense to them, they did it anyway. And the net brought up a great catch. Well, brethren, have you ever wondered, if you read this story before, if the disciples told other people about this story? How Jesus Christ had to help them catch a net full of fish, and then he cooked them breakfast in the morning. That would be one great fish story, wouldn't it? But brethren, just like to what we read a minute ago, people had to see that to believe it. Those people had to see that to believe it. Number 5, we must love others before we can serve them. We must love others before we can serve them. We live in a world that is focused on everyone's gratifying and satisfying themselves. Basically, everyone is loving themselves first, and God and everyone else is second. We can see this around us everywhere, brethren, everywhere we turn our head. This is part what is causing more and more people become more addicted to drugs and alcohol, and causing more people to come major, major attitude. Because focusing on oneself, pleasing oneself. When human beings become so focused on themselves, brethren, how are they able to have outgoing love and concern for others? Like Jesus Christ and our God, our Father, wants us to have. Let's go over to Philippians 2. Come with me to Philippians 2. Verse 1 through 5. Once again, this is from the Common English Bible. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, if any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having love, the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purpose, but with humility, thinking of others as better than ourselves. Verse 4, instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Brethren, we are to love others and serve them the way that Jesus Christ himself would love and serve them. And if we really want to esteem others better than ourselves, we need to look and focus on the gifts and the strength of others. One way to become humble is to see the talents and the strength of others. When we look at ourselves and compare ourselves to others, that makes us have pride. It makes us feel like we are better than other people. Brother, this is one of Satan's major defects. He has pride, and he believes he was more important than he really was. So much more, he went up to the heaven and tried to take over God's throne. Brethren, we got to be able to pray for each other. We got to help each other when they're going through a trial. Help them by doing something for them, brethren, for they cannot do for themselves. Help each other. We are family, and we should be able to help each other. Brethren, God doesn't play favorites. He loves each of us the same. He doesn't play favorites. This is how Christ lived on earth. And if we are truly to become like him, we must live our life in like manner. Come with me to my last set of scriptures, brethren. We've read this many a time too. John 15, verse 11 through 17. We've read this many a time. We're going to read it again too. John 15, 11 through 17. It says, these sayings I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends for all things that I have heard from my Father, and I have made known to you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that for whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. This set of scriptures pretty sums up about love, brethren. Well, just as Jesus Christ chose four of his disciples from among fishermen, God, And Jesus Christ chose each one of us from this world to become part of God's church. We are to become fishers of men. We are to be help spread that gospel message. We are to be lights. We are to be examples to others and to obey and love God with all of our heart and love other human beings so we can teach them about becoming fishers of men.